I started feeling emotion for them as a pastor. I was getting to know them as people. And I went to the assembly gallery. You can watch as the assembly meets every week, twice a week, most of the year, as they're meeting for a legislative session and they're gathering, coming in for their meeting to vote on laws. And I'm looking at them as people and going, I know that one, Lord, is struggling with this, and that one's struggling with that, and this one was upset about this, and this one is afraid of that. And I'm looking at them and I'm saying, Lord, I care about them. And in fact, if these state assembly members that I'm looking at here are any representation of what's going on throughout California and throughout our nation for government, well, no wonder we have some of the problems we have, because a lot of them have problems. And many of them, Lord, seem like sheep without a shepherd. And my heart went out to them, and I actually began to tear up. And I'm like, what is going on? That is a very strange feeling. I don't know if any of you have ever had it, but when you start feeling compassion for politicians, I started to tear up and started to get emotional, and I'm sniffling. I'm like, okay, Lord, well, just if you ever want to use me here, I'm willing. And I walked out to my car and I put my hand up towards the Capitol, just said, Lord, I mean it. This place is crazy and I'm willing to serve you here. I don't live far away, so if you want to use me, I'm available. Now, what I meant by that prayer was maybe in a year or something, I'd come back and say hi to somebody. As it turned out, God had a different plan. It's a dangerous prayer, I found, because God had a different plan. I got a call from my state assembly member friend that next week, and he said, hey, Frank, you know, your name came up. There have been a couple ministries in the Capitol. They're leaving, so we're looking for someone to step in and kind of be a pastor in the Capitol. How would you like to do that? And I thought, no, why would I want to do that? And then I remembered that prayer, and I thought, could it be, Lord? That was a very strange experience. Who has an experience like that? Could it be? And so I showed up at the Capitol and began to reach out to them and found that indeed God had called me there. He was at work. And so now I've been doing it all these years. And what I've learned as I'm in the Capitol reaching out to help our government officials, their staff, everybody related to government, to get to know about the Lord and grow in Him, what I find is that all over the Bible, all over God's word, we see that this is what God wants us doing, or at least He wants us to be having this perspective of prayer and concern for government leaders. And I think that we, as God's people, have often just missed this. It's somehow an overlooked mission that God has given us in the church. So often, we as Christians, if we think of government and politics, people tend to take one of two approaches I've found in churches. Either we say, I want nothing to do with that, right? That's godless, it's evil, it's boring, whatever. I don't want anything to do with that. Stay out of it. Or people go the other extreme, we might say, and just say, the church should be all about political action, and we should be a political action group, and let's just go for it and in many cases, fight against the government and war against them. But as Jason mentioned and read, there's something more that God tells us to do, something else that God tells us to do, and we can read about it in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. In 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, we have this passage that's very clear about this topic. It says, I'm going to read it from the New American Standard Bible, but if you want to follow along in any translation or if they put it up on the screen, feel free. It says in New American Standard Translation this, first of all then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so we have this passage, this clear passage in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, that has some important words for us, commands really, for how we should relate to government leaders. And we see we have a mission to them. And I'll give you 6 points in this mission. If you're a note taker, feel free to write them down. Number one, we are to care about them and their work. And notice the passage It says, first of all, I urge prayers, petitions, etc. But then it specifies one group of people. It's really interesting, isn't it? It doesn't say pray for all people, but especially farmers. Although that would be a good thing to pray for farmers. Or pray for all people, especially tent makers, which the Apostle Paul, who wrote this, was. But it doesn't say that. Or leather workers, or stonemasons, or carpenters. No, it specifies one group, kings and those in authority. So of all the groups that God inspired the writing of his word, that he says, be sure to pray for these people, he says, pray especially for government. That's what these words mean, kings and those in authority. And you may do that, but I find most of us don't. We don't think too much about praying for government. A lot of times it says we don't want anything to do with it. We don't want anything to do with politics. Maybe you've heard some people say the word politics comes from the Latin term, right? The connection of the word poly, which means many, and tix, which means blood-sucking creatures, right? Politics. But we think, well, so I don't want anything to do with that. But God cares about government leaders, doesn't he? He specifies to pray for them. He cares about them as individuals, we see in his word. They're people. Jesus died for them. And they have an enormous influence for good or for bad, don't they? And so he cares about their work. And you think about our state capitol, what I began to realize as I got involved there, you think about the influence of our state capitol. Here's California, where we are 1/8 of the U.S. population. Did you know that? And our state capitol is the political power center, therefore, for the most populous and therefore arguably the most influential state and the most powerful nation on earth. You think God cares about what happens in that building? Do we really want to ignore that opportunity to influence our state capital? And our state capital spreads throughout the nation in many cases, for good or bad. And then, of course, what happens nationally spreads throughout the world. And so all throughout the Bible, we see God sending people to political leaders, especially what? To tell them about him. We have this clear perspective in God's word that we're all under government, right? Because there's the highest government, who is God. He's the king. And how often in the Bible do we hear about God being our king? That's a government term. And we hear about Jesus being Lord. Kurios in Greek. That Lord, that's a government term. So government is talked about on every page of the Bible. Because we're reading about the king, we're reading about the Lord. Those are government terms. We're reading about him being our master, our Lord. And then we have also continuous discussion about government. It's amazing, as I teach through the Bible each week and adapt it to that audience, it's not hard. Continually, we're seeing stories about government leaders. You think about in the Old Testament, did any of the prophets talk to government leaders? Well, yeah, they did, didn't they? Joseph went to Potiphar and Pharaoh. Moses went to Pharaoh. Isaiah and Jeremiah went to the kings of Judah. Daniel went to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Nehemiah went to King Artaxerxes of Persia. Jonah went to the king of Nineveh. And you could go on and on and on with the Old Testament prophets and say, you know, they all went to government in some way. And then Jesus comes. Did Jesus deal with any government leaders? Well, yeah, we have story after story in the New Testament, Jesus interacting with them. We have him with the rich young ruler in Mark 10, a man who sounds like a young, arrogant government leader of some kind. And it says Jesus loved this man, even though he rejected Jesus. Jesus loved him. We have Jesus speaking with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, a member of their Supreme Court. And the Sanhedrin could actually be translated the assembly. We have in John 4, Jesus healing a government official's son, maybe an official of Herod, who was a very evil king. And then we have Jesus, before he goes to the cross, standing before every one of the most powerful leaders of his nation at his time. And Jesus didn't do anything by accident, but before he went to the cross, he stood as a testimony before the Sanhedrin, who were their Supreme Court, Caiaphas, the high priest and religious leader, Herod, Israel's king and civic leader, Pilate, who was the Roman governor. And then Jesus commissions the apostles. Did he say anything about government leaders in that case? Yep, Matthew 10:18, he says to the apostles, you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them. And then we have throughout the book of Acts, we have evidence of this. Stephen testifying before the Sanhedrin, Philip reaching the Ethiopian eunuch, Peter reaching Cornelius, who was a nationally famous military official. And then we have the Apostle Paul, and Paul is specifically commissioned for this. Acts 9:15, the Lord said to Ananias about him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel." And most of the cities that Paul went on his missionary journeys were capital cities of their empire, of the Roman Empire regions that he went to. And so we just see that God is thinking about government, even if we aren't, and he's at work in it. And so in my case, I stepped into the Capitol. I said, "Okay, Lord, how do you want to use me here?" First day, "Okay, what do you want to do, God? Do you want to do something here or not?" I stepped into a senator's office. He had met me once. He said, "So, yeah, I remember meeting you, Frank." He said, "You're a pastor, right?" I said, "That's right." He said, "Hey, why don't you come in back to my office?" They have a number of offices. Each of them brought me back into his personal office, closed the door. He says, "Hope you don't mind if I close the door." Had the seat here, sat down across from his giant desk, and he looks at me, and he says, "So as a pastor, everything I say to you now is confidential, right?" I said, "That's right, Senator." And he put his head down in his hands, and he just started to sob. And the tears were running down his shirt sleeves. And he started to tell me about a lot of his struggles, things he could never tell anybody because of his position. And I had the chance to pray with him and share about the Lord with him. And I thought, "Lord, that was a tremendous opportunity. Thank you." And I left his office and I walked out. This is after about a half an hour. I walked down the hall and I thought, "Well, I still have some time. Let me pop in the next office." 30 feet down the hall, walked into the next office. A senator greeted me. "Oh, you're a pastor. Come on in." Close the door, have a seat. And I'm not exaggerating, the same thing happened again. Almost exactly, same thing, with his head in his hands, sobbing. And I sat there and I thought, "Lord, what are you doing?" But you see, God was giving me a behind-the-scenes view to recognize them as people and to realize that he cares about them. And he's always sent people to government. And he was giving me that opportunity. And so we care enough to think about them, to pray for them, to have God's heart for them. We respect their position. 1 Timothy 2 says to pray for all who are in authority. And so we realize there is an authority. Again, so often in the church, we want to just be angry about government and fight against them. And I know if you're interested in government, you are happy about some and mad about others, because here we are in California, where our federal government is going one direction and our state government's going the other. And admittedly so, right? Our state government is admittedly saying we are fighting vehemently against the federal government, against the president and his administration. And so we, as California citizens, are no doubt, if you're interested in this topic, pulled one way or the other. You can't not be. Either you side with the federal government or you side with the state if you have an interest in it. Or maybe you try to find some way to get everybody to go in a new way. But we're in this challenging position. But we certainly realize that God is the one who is allowing them to be in office, whether we like it or not. And he's allowed the office even to exist. God created government. And so we show them respect. We respect the position. That's what God's word says. I'll tell you, this is one of those passages I'm thinking, is that really in the Bible? But it is. It says in Titus 3:1, "Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men." 1 Peter 2:17, "Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." And we go, "Yeah, but the king, the rulers in our day, they're so bad." I would encourage you, if you struggle with that, as I do sometimes, go back and read about the rulers in his day. Read about what they were like, and you'll say, "Oh, wow, we have it pretty good." I mean, these were very, very evil rulers in the Apostle Paul's day. The leaders over Israel and the leaders of Rome who had occupied Israel were all bad. In fact, they were in collusion and working together and doing very ungodly things. But the Apostle Paul says, we honor them. Why? Because we recognize God has allowed them to be in position. Daniel 2:21, he removes kings and establishes kings. Romans 13:1, there's no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. And so we say, you know what, Lord, we're not sure what you're doing or why you're allowing these people. And we see even in the case of Pharaoh in the Old Testament, it was actually to judge the Egyptians. God, don't judge us by giving us bad leaders. But at the same time, we recognize you've allowed them to be in office, so we pray for them. And we follow their laws. There's no mention of rebellion in 1 Timothy 2. 1 Peter 2:13 says we're to submit ourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as one in authority or to governors as sent by him. And that's not always easy. And of course, if we can change a law, we do. We have a wonderful opportunity in our country to get involved and be part of the process, something that people in the biblical times didn't have. And so I encourage you, if you look at government and you say, God, these people are doing such a bad job, get involved. And some of you have been involved in government. I see Kristen here, one of our former state assembly members. And are there other government people who are in government office here? We should honor them for getting involved and doing their part. Don't stay out. Get involved. Matthew 22:21 says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. Caesar meaning the government. And our government is saying, vote. They're telling you to vote. They're telling you to get involved. And so as God's people, I encourage you to do that. And if you think they're not doing a good job, maybe it's because God is trying to call one of his people to step up and do the job, and they're not doing it, and so there's no one left. And we end up having evil leaders or ungodly leaders. But we are to follow what they decide, the laws they make, unless what? Acts 5:29 makes it clear. When the apostles were told to do something that clearly contradicted what God said, they said, no, we must obey God rather than men. What's the idea there? That God's government is highest. We report to that government above any earthly government. And then we have this clear admonition to pray for them. To pray for them. And what do we pray? There was a bumper sticker years ago I saw that said, pray for our president, Psalm 109, verse 8. And I looked it up and I thought, that's a great thing to pray for the president. But Psalm 109, verse 8 says, quote, let his days be few, let another take his office. So we can pray that. If you want to pray that God changes a leader, there's nothing wrong with that. But while they're in office, pray for them because they're there. Right? They're there for that term at least, and then pray for the election. But while they're there, pray for them. And if you ask anybody who's in government service, what do you need? There's a really good chance. I'd say more than half of them will say to you, pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. They know that they need God's help to make the decisions they're making. And Psalm 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. Well, most of them don't know his commandments, and they don't fear the Lord. But they need to know that, and they need God's work in their life so that they can have his wisdom. And as I interact with our government leaders, you know, the decisions they make are really beyond any one of them. Who can vote on thousands of different laws that are on every topic under the sun and know what they're really doing? Who has time to read the laws? Nobody. Okay, and so they're relying on the advice of others, the counsel of others, and they're literally voting one after another on just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things. And sometimes we care about something and say, why would they do that? And behind the scenes, as I talk to them, some of them will admit, I don't know anything about this. I'm never going to say that publicly, right? But the fact is they just can't know about everything and they can't care about everything. They're people and they have limited experience and knowledge. They're not superhuman and they're trying to do a good job, but they often just don't know. And as I go to Republican and Democrat offices, it's amazing how I can go to a Republican office and literally one day I'm with a Republican chief of staff and he's crying with his head in his hands saying, Frank, you don't understand, these Democrats are destroying our state. They don't care about people. They're killing people. It's horrible what the Democrats are doing. And I prayed with him and shared about Christ with him and encouraged him to seek the Lord and come to our Bible study group and grow in the Lord. And I left that office and so I went down the hall literally to the next office, and it was a Democrat office, and the Democrat chief of staff, same thing. God, He's saying you need to pray, Frank, because these Republicans, they're destroying our state. They don't care about people. They're killing people. They're messing everything up. And they were both equally passionate and equally sincere. It wasn't just a political game. They really cared. And when you say, you know, somebody here isn't understanding something, right? What's the answer? They need the Lord. They need to know him. They need to know his word. They need to have his wisdom. They need to seek him. And unless they do, they're just going by their own experience and they're going to get pulled in all kinds of directions. And our state assembly members in California represent about 500,000 people. You think that's influence? Our state senators represent 1 million people. U.S. Congress members, about 750,000 people. That's a lot of people. And nobody is up to that task without God's help. So pray for wisdom, pray for humility. One state assembly member told me, when I became elected to office, it's like I suddenly became smarter, funnier, and better looking. Right? That's how it is. And the pride just is overwhelming. One state assembly member said to me, it's scary, Frank, to see how people change when they come into this place. The pride, being treated like royalty, he said, quote, everybody wants to be with you. Everybody's taking your calls. It goes right to our heads. And that's the case with many. So pray for humility, pray for courage to do the right thing, even if it costs their career. You want to know why they vote the way they do sometimes? Right? Who is going to cast a vote that they know will end their career? Not very many people. And that's the case with a lot of the votes that the church is concerned about. People vote along the lines of what they need to do to keep their job. So pray for courage that leaders will do the right thing no matter what. And strength. Did you know that our government leaders are under spiritual attack that most of us probably can't even relate to? I had an assembly member who quit in the Capitol because of this. He was a godly man, wanted to follow the Lord, an older guy, and he spent his whole life trying to follow the Lord. And he grabbed me by the shoulders when he left, and he said, you've got to keep doing what you're doing. This place is absolutely crazy. I have never seen spiritual warfare like I'm seeing in this place. And he met with his legislative colleagues. And what did he mean by spiritual warfare? What he meant was he was watching people who expressed an interest in God having their lives destroyed by sin, by compromise, by turning away from God. And his heart was breaking over it. Another man had been one of the senior guys in the California Highway Patrol. And he went on video telling people about my ministry. He said, I want to encourage you to support this and to pray for our Capitol. He said, as a leader in the California Highway Patrol, I patrolled some of the toughest streets in our nation in South Central Los Angeles. And he was like one of the top guys for CHP. But he said, I spent years patrolling South Central LA, and I'm telling you, what I'm seeing in the Capitol is worse than what I saw on the streets in South Central LA. In the toughest neighborhoods in California. What did he mean? Again, he was talking about how people's lives were being corrupted by what's there. And my friends in Washington, D.C. tell me it's much worse. So pray. Ephesians 6:12 talks about our struggle is against rulers, powers, world forces of darkness. And I'm sure his readers thought the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6:12 were starting to talk about government, but then he clarified and said those spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. He's saying there's a demonic battle going on that involves government. So please pray, and pray for me as I go to them. And a little tip for how to pray would be you can go to a website called knowwho.com. knowwho.com, and you could type in your address and print out a pictorial directory of all of your government leaders. That's your city, county, state, federal, all the way from your city leaders to President Trump, and you can have a picture directory of them that just fits onto a page or two, and you could put that in your office or on your refrigerator and say, I'm going to pray for this one today and that one today, and pray for them by name. And whenever you see them in the news, just pray for them. Realize you're not getting the full picture. You're not hearing the personal struggles. You're not hearing that maybe just before they were on that news podcast, for all you know, they were crying, saying, I don't know if I can do this job. That's what I get to see. Maybe they were saying, I don't know what to do. I'm so confused. Maybe that's what's happening. I get to see that. Maybe they're saying, this job is killing my family and destroying my connection with my kids. I get to see that. Maybe they're saying, everybody's angry at me and I'm doing the best I can. I don't know what to do. Maybe they're saying, I'm going to make this decision because I want to keep my job, but I don't think it's right before God. I've heard that many times. I think that I have to do this to keep my job, but I feel really guilty before God. Maybe they're saying, I need God. I need God's help. I need to know the Lord. I hear that. So pray for them. Pray for them. And then we share the good news with them. This passage in 1 Timothy 2 says God desires all to be saved. And the context there, it's interesting, is pray for all people, especially government, because God wants everybody saved. So it's saying in context, pray for all things, but including especially their salvation. Pray that they'll truly have a heart open to God. It's great to be involved politically. I encourage you to do so, but we have a far more important role that only God's people can fulfill. You think about that? Everybody in America can get involved in politics, but only you, only God's people can pray for them the way God tells us to. And that's a great opportunity, and only we can pray for their salvation. We really understand what that means. And if you have the opportunity to get to know someone who serves at any level of government, invite them to your church, invite them to your small group, invite them to be a part of it, to really come to know the Lord and grow in Him. Not just to talk about politics. You know, a lot of government leaders don't want to go to church because it feels like work, because everybody there just wants to talk about politics. And they want to come and hear about God. And I have many, many, many tell me, I don't even want to go to church because I don't want to hear about politics. I want to hear about God, and I can't do it there. So invite them to come and know the Lord and grow in the Lord and seek the Lord. And if you see this example again all throughout the Bible, in Acts 26, you might want to read this account of the Apostle Paul standing before some of the greatest government leaders of his nation in his time. And as he's before them, in chains actually, they arrested him because he wouldn't stop preaching about Jesus, and they bring him before them. It says the auditorium was filled with government leaders and staff and security forces and everybody, and they're like, Paul, what do you want to say? And you would think this is the point where the Apostle Paul is going to talk about all their horrible abuses as leaders. And instead, he says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do, because he was Jewish. He's like, I know you've read the Old Testament. Agrippa replies to Paul, Paul, in a short time, you're going to persuade me to be a Christian. Like, yeah, right. I think that was sarcasm. And Paul says, oh, I would wish to God that whether in a short time or a long time, not only you, but all who hear me this day, talking to this room full of government officials, that all who hear me might become as I am, except for these chains, meaning a follower of Christ. Paul's like, I'm just going to take this opportunity not to talk about your horrible government, but to talk about Jesus. So I encourage you, look for opportunities to share about the Lord or pray for them that God will put people in their path to tell them. And then to help them to know His word, to disciple them. That passage of 1 Timothy 2 says, who desires all men to be saved and what? Come to a knowledge of the truth. You look at our government leaders, you go, why would they make this decision again? A lot of them have never, not just a lot, the vast majority have never read the Bible. Even if they say they're a Christian, they've never studied it. Almost, you know, I mean, very few have actually studied through the scriptures carefully. So they really aren't thinking biblically. And as we can, we want to teach them God's word. And then I encourage you, again, invite them to your church to know the Lord and grow in Him. And as they know the word of God, they'll say, oh, now I get it. Now I see why God wants us to do this and what we should do. I had the opportunity last year to lead a government leader to salvation. And he says to me at the end of the year, after he'd been following Christ and coming to our Bible study group for almost a year, he says, Frank, I can't describe it to you. He says, it's like I'm seeing everything now in the world differently. I feel like my brain has come on and the lights have come on and now I see things clearly. And it's so great. And then another one actually stopped me on the street corner as we were crossing paths and said, oh, I just got to tell you, the most amazing thing is happening in my life as I'm growing in the Lord. She says, I feel like now everything that happens, she says, I never used to think about anything, and now everything that comes my way, I filter it through the Word of God. She says, I don't even consciously do it. I just start to realize, oh, I'm thinking, what does God say about that? She says, I never used to do that. Well, what is that going to mean? That means she'll have God's guidance as she makes the big decisions she makes. She'll have God's viewpoint, which is the correct viewpoint of the world. And so in summary, we could say, what? We don't want to just fight against government. We don't want to ignore government. We want to recognize that they're our, what, mission field. They're a mission field. And we want to fulfill the Great Commission to them. And what are the benefits of this? Back to 1 Timothy 2, it says, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. I mean, isn't that what we want? If we want to have a peaceful, that word means peaceable, pleasant, quiet life, enjoyable life, do the things we want to do, have freedom, how's it going to happen? It's going to happen as lawmakers' hearts are turned to the Lord and they seek Him and they want to do the right thing, God will guide our state and our nation. Our greatest problems in our country and our state are not political problems. Ultimately, they're spiritual problems, problems of the heart. And as such, the answers are spiritual too. And so you and I as believers, you see how we have a different perspective? Does what I'm saying seem to fit how you think the church in general thinks about politics? Not in my experience. It's a whole different paradigm. But as we have God's perspective, we say, okay, Lord, we get it. You're the king. We represent you in this lower government that you've allowed to be in existence that in many cases is all screwed up and corrupted. And we get to bring your light, your truth to these leaders and help them to know you, grow in you, follow you, and enjoy you, and do your work on this earth for your glory, and we benefit, 1 Timothy 2 says. And so if we fulfill our mission, we can, by God's grace, hope to have a remnant. Of course, it won't be all, but we'll have a remnant of mature, godly, biblically knowledgeable, humble leaders, and they can be a rudder to steer, to help steer our state and our nation. Is there hope? Absolutely. Because again, God is the king. He is on the throne. It's all going to be okay ultimately. But he's given us this guide from his word. So let's pray. Father, thank you that we get to be part of your government, your kingdom. I trust that each of us here have opened our heart to you to say, Lord, be the Lord, be the leader, the king, the ruler of my life. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for us and rise again so that we can call on you, be rescued from our isolation from you, from the punishment of our sins, and be saved and rescued from it and be connected to you then and have you guiding and steering our life. But then as we connect with you, Lord, we start to look around and go, oh man, this world is so messed up, and that includes government in many ways, Lord. So use us, please, to be your people, to pray for them the way you've commanded us to reach out to them as we have opportunity, to be your representatives to them as many of your people have been throughout history. Thank you for the privilege. And Lord, thank you that we can trust in you, that you're on the throne, and all is good, all is okay in your kingdom. And we pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.